Okay, we're in Parak Zion, Halacha Vav, and we're dealing with the various customs, that were in place, that Chazal, I won't say were misakin, but very strong suggestions for etiquette and a certain sensitivity to cultural norms, and that's what takes place in these various halachas. So in Halacha Vav, he picks off by saying, so if two people are eating, let's say they're sharing a plate, a cooked dish, so they should wait for each other when eating. Meaning one person shouldn't, if they know they're going to share it, one person shouldn't start eating until the other person's there. But by shlosha, if it's three people, you don't need to wait. Meaning two could start and they can not wait for the third. Gamru mehen shnayim, this actually has halachic significance. If, let's say, three people are eating together, and two finish, let's assume it's bread, and two finish, hashlishi mafsik imayim. So here what it means here is that, let's say two people want a bench, so if people want a bench in the meal, two of the three want a bench, then the third is forced to join them in benching. However, gamar echa mehen, but if only one finished, hashnayim ein mafsik lo, ela ochlin v'holchan atcha gomrim. But if one guy says, listen, I'm done, but the other two have not finished their meal, so then, what's it called? Then they can continue eating their meal. Okay, then another interesting halacha. So you're not supposed to talk during a meal. Okay, meaning if you have conversations during a meal, it can lead to potential choking hazards. So as a general rule of thumb, what do you call it? As a general rule of thumb, the meals were very quiet. So therefore, if wine was served during a meal, right, each person would make their own bracha on yain. Okay, why? Because if one person said the bracha of yain out loud, and everyone was in the middle of eating, so it's possible when you answer amen, you're still having food in the back of your throat, and you'll choke. So therefore, what do you call it? The Rambam held that each person makes a bracha on their own yayin. But this is all because of the idea of talking while eating. Finally, finally, the other halacha is that you're not supposed to stare at someone. And again, mistakl usually means to stare, not just look. But you shouldn't stare at someone while they're eating, right, or at their portion. Okay, meaning at what they have in their plate. So, let's say, for example, you go to someone's house and they serve this incredible steak. You don't look at the steak and stare at it and be in awe of it. Shol levaisho, because it's possible that'll embarrass a person. And in general, what he really means is that he's more reflecting the fact that in a society where people didn't have a lot of money, so what do you call it? The person may feel like his portion's inadequate. So the rule of thumb is that according to the Rambam, you don't stare at someone when they're eating, nor do you stare at their food. Okay, then the Rambam says, Halacha Zayin, Hashamish, She'omed lifnei mesubin, Eina ochel iman. Okay, so now you have an attendant, a waiter. So the waiter's there, and his job is to serve the people eating. He doesn't eat with the mesubin. Okay, he doesn't join them in eating. But he says, V'derech rachmanus, it's an act of mercy, who, Litein letoch piv, Mikol tafsho v'tafsho, Kedei liyoshev daito. But it's like a nice thing to do, to give the waiter some food. So you give him some of the food that you're eating to kind of relax his mind. But in general, the shamish is not considered, should not eat or doesn't eat with the people he's serving. Then nasno lo yayin mivar hakos v'kosh noson lo. Now let's say they gave him wine. So each time he gets a kos of wine from the people eating, so then he has to make a separate brach on each one. Because the only reason why he's drinking is because they want him to drink. So therefore, each kos has, in a sense, its own identity, rather than him wanting to drink on his own, and therefore, what it called, having to make one bracha, and it'll be yotze all the yayin he has in the future. Okay. Halacha ches. Yotze echa min ha-mesubin l'hashtin mayim. So let's say one of the people eating the meal goes to use the bathroom, okay? So what's the halacha, or what's the suggestion? Notol yado achas v'nichnas. So he has to wash one of his hands, okay, and return to, before he returns to the meal. So he'd have to do Netila of one hand, and then re-enter. However, Diber im Chavero, v'heflik, notol shtei yadav nechnas. But let's say he ends up, after he goes to the bathroom, he's talking with his friend outside for a period of time, then he'd have to wash both his hands before he comes in. Im hayu mesubin lishasiya, okay, let's say the people, the meal he was at was one where people were drinking, and he went outside, went to the bathroom, and then was talking with a friend. Nechnas v'yoshev b'mkomo, okay, then he'd have to go back inside before washing his hands, sit in the makom that he was in, v'notol yadav, and then wash his hands there, but he'd wash his hands not facing the people, v'akrakach machzir panav l'orchen, and then he would turn back around and face the guests. V'lama notol b'mkomo, and why does he have to wash in his makom? Shema yomru lo notol yadav, neshein shamachila. Because people might say that, oh, he didn't wash his hands at all when he came back because there was no bread. So he has to make a nicker in this situation that he's washing his hands. So again, this is all not, technically halachic stuff. This is more of an idea of a concern of making sure your hands are clean when you return to eat at a meal. Okay, halacha test. Again, a lot of these things also, as you can notice by now, don't really have applicability today. So you can't put raw meat on bread. Okay, so for those who enjoy raw meat, you should never place it on bread. And you also never pass a cup of wine, a full cup of wine, over bread. Okay, you don't put like your, like let's say a plate, all right, on top of a piece of bread. And again, this has to do with the chashivas of bread. That bread has a very unique role in halacha. It is considered the most important of all foods. So there's a certain, I'd say, kavod you're supposed to have and express towards bread. Vein zorker esapas, that's actually still applicable. You're not supposed to throw bread. Veloas achatichos, veloas oakland, right? Shein lahen klipin. And not only that, you don't throw pieces of food. You don't throw food that doesn't have shells on the outside of it. Kikon tutim, vanavim, b'teinim. You don't throw them because you don't throw things like strawberries or grapes or figs because they'll become disgusting, right? Okay, so number one, you're allowed to. So they used to have like these tubes and pipes at wedding halls. And what they would do is you can put wine through them. So they'd go through them to come out. So it's allowed to pour wine through those pipes. And it's also permitted to throw like nuts and other things at the chasan and kala at the time of their wedding, only during the summer months. Okay, but during the winter months, you couldn't throw these things because they would spoil. So I know this sounds a lot like the idea of throwing rice, which is a Christian custom, but there was an idea of throwing this food in celebration, and it will be permitted to do if it was during the summer months. Vein notlin yedein b'yayin bein chay bein mazug. You can't wash your hands with wine. V'chein ein masidin shar ochlin amashkin derek bizo v'ita. That's also an important halacha. You can't like destroy food in a degrading way. Okay, meaning you can't just take food. In a sense, it's to be wasteful, right? A person can't be wasteful of food, and that's also a problem. Okay, halacha yud. And as you see, we're slowly working our way through the order of the meal. No, their skin's not considered a peel run. You can throw peas. Also, the orchim litol klum mimashal ifneim the litem biad bino obito shal balabayis. Okay, so it's this is an interesting halacha or an interesting practice. It is prohibited for guests, okay, to take some of what they've been served, okay, and then give it to the son or daughter of the owner of the house, okay? So let's say we're all sitting together. Let's say you're at my house, and we serve our lovely Shabbos dinner, and then one of you decide to give a piece of the steak to one of my kids. That'd be prohibited. Why? Shemi yizbayish ba'ala suda, because it might embarrass the head of the household. Sharei ein lo ela ma shehebi lifneim, okay? Because it could be all he had to serve was that which what he brought out. V'nimsu a ketanim notlin osam v'holchem. And then the ketanim are taking what all he could serve, right? They're getting a little more, right? And then they're leaving. So the thing is that a person has to be sensitive that You know, it could be that the hosts only have a small amount of food to serve, and they should be very, very sensitive to that and aware of that. And therefore, in feeding the son or daughter of the Baal HaBayis, that could be the one portion that's the only portion that the guests would have had. And then it's going to be very embarrassing when the guest turns out has very little food to eat. That's a difficult situation. Lo yishlach adam l'chaver chavis yayin v'shemet saf al piya. So you shouldn't send a barrel of wine with oil on the top of it, which was a way also to, again, since the oil and wine don't mix, it's a nice way to send both. You shouldn't send that to your friend. Shema yishlach lo adam chaver shekula yayin. Because what will happen is then your friend will send back to you a barrel that only has wine in it, the yidmesh hu shemen, and then, but the guy that receives the wine from his friend will think that, oh, there's oil in there, because what he sent to his friend had oil on top. V'shemen shu sha'al paneh bilvad, v'izamen orcha mizbayish. And he'll invite his guests over, and he'll be embarrassed because he's going to invite them over to enjoy some of this oil. And it turns out, the barrel of wine didn't have any oil in it. V'chein kol k'yotze b'dvarim eilu, ha'mevim l'dei busha l'baal suda asurin. So, thankfully, the Rambam is saying this is an example. You have to avoid as much as possible doing anything that might bring embarrassment to the Baal Suda. So we have to be sensitive to these things. And there's definitely things today where they may not be strict halacha, but common sense to not embarrass the owner of the house. Okay, lachid aleph. Gamru lecho. Okay, so let's say they finished eating. Okay, so now we're at the end of the meal. Okay, time for benching. Misalkin es ha-shulchan. Okay, you remove the table. Umechadin es ha-makom sh'achlubo. Okay, you clean up where you ate. That's important. It should be clean. It shouldn't be filled with, like, food stuff. It should be clean. V'achachach nolin es ha-dam. And then you do mayim ahronim. Shemi yisharu sham piruin sheish ben gazayish asol halach behen v'lirchot zalein. Right, ala piruin sheim behen gazayish mutal avdam biyad. Right, and then, in other words, it's also important that you want to make sure that there are no crumbs left over that are kazayas or bigger, okay? Because you can't wash over those. Meaning, let's say on the table, you have big chunks of bread left. There's an issue of doing mayim achronim over those big pieces. But if there's small crumbs left, meaning less than a kazayas, it's okay to just scatter them out with your hands. But it's important to realize that you shouldn't leave big chunks of bread on your table. So now they bring the water, halach yod beis, if you will have mayim linatila, okay? Kol shem avarach brechas amazon hu noti yadav tchila. So the person who, when they bring the, mayim achronim, so the person who is going to bench, okay, washes his hands first. Kidei shelo yeshef ha-gadol v'yadav mizuhamos ad sheyutol acher. So, because the person of greatest stature shouldn't sit there for a period of time with his hands dirty, waiting for everyone else to wash their hands. However, Ushar Suudin, Asuadin, Notlin Yadan, Bisof Ze Acharze. And then everyone else at the meal washes their hands by Mayim Achronim, but there's no order to it. I mean, it doesn't matter. Remember, if we saw before, there is an idea of a certain greater respect you give to people, let's say, in the order of washing the Tilas Adayim before Hamotzi. Here, it doesn't matter by Mayim Achronim, except for the person benching, because he shouldn't sit with his hands dirty. But that's not really an issue of Kavod, as he's about to say. We don't really give honor, meaning we don't prioritize for things like this. We don't prioritize kavod when it comes to dirty hands, and not for, like, for instance, who can cross the bridge first or who walks on the road first. The only time we have this idea of prioritizing kavod, as an example, is going into a house where the Knesset has a mezuzah. So then there's actually an idea of allowing the gadol to go in first. Outside of that, though, we don't really differentiate in these areas when it comes to kavod. Halach yud gimel. Now, gamru litol yedayan, okay, v'nagvu yedayan, right, ubarachu berchas amazon, ve'aviu es amugmar. Okay, so what happened? So they ended up benching, okay, they washed their hands, they dried their hands, they benched, okay? And then, what do? They bring out the mugmar. So mugmar was incense. There was incense they would bring out after the meal was over. Mi shebirach berkas hamazon, hu mevarach ala mugmar v'kulon onan amen. So he would make the besamim bracha on the incense, and everyone would say amen to that. Okay? So if you're planning on bringing incense out of your meal, this would be the, at the end of the meal, this is how it is done. Okay, im hayasham alach yadal, im hayasham yayin, if there was wine. Now this is also actually, again, we're shifting back into halacha. Okay, if you have wine available, mivin kos machzik revias, so yesra revias. So that's an actual halacha. If you have a zimun, okay, meaning if you have three people, you really need to go ahead and if you have wine available, bench on wine. For some reason, the custom became today that it's only when you have 10 that people seek out a kos to bench with. But that's not how the halacha was set up. It was set up that if there's wine available, you bench with wine. So it's interesting today that that's not done. It's unfortunate because there is an idea that as long as you have three, you should, if you have wine available, you should bench on a kos. Umevim besamim. Now this is interesting also, which again is done, still done, it's still a Taimani source for this, but it's not done certainly among Ashkenazim. You'd bring out some type of spice. The oches esayayin bimino. You'd hold the kos of wine in your right hand. Vesa besamim besmolo. And the besamim in your left hand. So the person leading the benching would bench out loud, holding the kos in his right hand, and let's say hadasim in his left. After he finishes benching, he makes a bracha on the wine. And then he makes a bracha on the, let's say, hadasim. Im hayua besamim shemen arev, kiyotzebo, tachu berosh shamash. Now let's say the besamim was like a perfumed oil, okay? So what they would do is they would take a little bit and season the head of the waiter, okay, which would make him smell good. V'imaya shamash tamachacham, but if the shamash was actually tamachacham, right? Tachu b'kosel kadesh lo yetze mevusam l'shuk. Then you would grind it into the wall, meaning you would rub it into the wall, so this way he wouldn't walk out into the shuk smelling dainty, for lack of a better term. But let's put aside this business of putting on the shamash's head. There is an idea that a person should really, should bench on a kos whenever he can. For now, we'll call it wine. We'll get to grape juice down the road, what the status of grape juice is in halacha. You can rely on grape juice as wine, but there's a question of what exactly it is. Okay, halacha tesvav. Now you're not chayev to bring wine for benching. It's not, you're not chayev to, but it's definitely a good thing. Right. So if he's going to go ahead and make a bracha on wine, like we said, so what does he have to do? You have to wash the kos inside and out. Okay, the kos must be cleaned before it is used. Okay, this all comes from the Gemara in Brachos that lays out the various requirements for koshel bracha. V'yamalanu yayin chai, you put in undiluted wine. V'keman she, this is interesting, v'keman she gia lebirkas aretz, okay, when you get up to the bracha of al aretz al mazon, no sein lesocho mat mayim, kadeh she arev l'shasiyah. So at that point, you would add in some water into the wine mixture, so therefore, at that point, it'd be good enough to drink, because we don't usually drink undiluted wine. So you'd start benching on the undiluted wine, and then when you hit Birchas Aretz, at that point, you would add in, some water to make it good to drink. V'masichin al koshel Birchas Amazon. You can't talk while the person is benching with the kosh of Birchas Amazon. El al kol shoskim ashetichle Birchas Amazon, the Birchas Ayayin, v'yishtim. So what you do is that everyone has to be quiet. This is also an important halacha. If you're benching on a kos, it's critical that nobody speak until the person benching makes a bar prayer guffin. So even though, let's say you have an areach, okay? So the areach, let's say he benches out loud, okay? He then, says birchas ha-areach, and then makes a bar prayer guffin. And it's only after that that the people at benching are allowed to speak. Okay, that ends Perek Zayin. Now that basically ends the entire section on bread and washing for bread and the chashivas of bread and benching. All bread-related matters have been completed. And now in Paraches, we're going to shift into brachos on other foods, which he's going to take care most of in this parak. So Paraches, Alach Aleph, the Rambam starts by kol peros ha'ilan. So any fruits of the tree, Mevarchen alayan betchila boer priya eitz ulvasov boer nefashos rabos. Okay, chus mechamesha saminin haksuvim b'torah. So, any fruit that grows in a tree, you make a ha'etz on it as a bracha rishona. Afterwards, you make a boer nefashos, except for the five fruits of Eretz Yisrael that are written in the Torah, which are v'heim, anovim, v'rimonim, v'te'enim, v'zesim, v'tmarim. Okay, so those are the grapes, the pomegranates, figs, olives, and dates. Shehum of arachlam, so bracha achas mein shalosh. So you make the al ha-michya, but this is the al ha-peros bracha. You make that after, what do you call it? After you, for your bracha achorna. Val peros ha-aretz, okay, val yorakos, things that grow in the ground. Bivarcha na-land, betchila bora pri-adama, ulvasof bora nefashos rabos. So on vegetables, as we all know, you make an adama and a bora nefashos. And then finally, dvarim she'en gidulam in aretz, things that don't grow from the ground, can go basar, gvina, dog, and beitzim, mayim, v'chal, advash. So things like meat, cheese, fish, eggs, etc., and water, okay? You make a mevarach shahakol, vasof bor nefashos rabos. You make a shahakol first, and then make barach achorna bor nefashos. And finally, which is also an important halacha, that shosem mayim shalolu rabos samo, eno talim bracha lolofana v'lachra. If a person is drinking water for any purpose other than because he's thirsty, so for instance, if you're drinking water to take a medication, you do not make a bracha on that water, okay? Water has a unique status. You only make a bracha on water if it's there for the purpose of satisfying thirst. But it's for any other reason, we say you don't make a bracha rishona or a bracha achrona on drinking water. Okay. Halacha beis, hasoche peros, okay, vehotze mehen mashkin. Let's say you're squeezing fruits and you squeeze out, orange juice. You'd make a shahakol and a bor nefashos on the fruit juice, okay? Because what you would think is, you could make an argument, which some do, which is that the juice that comes out of a fruit is really an extension of the fruit itself. But the Rambam is saying, you treat the juice separately from the fruit. Except for, of course, chus min ha'navim v'azesim, okay? Except for grapes and olives. Again, grapes leading to wine, olives leading to olive oil. Sha'al ha'yayin hu mevarach bor pir gafen. Okay, uvlaso bracha achas mein shalosh, because on wine you make a hagafen, so you have your special bracha rishon on it, and afterwards you make a, what do you call it, bracha mein shalosh, because it's from, through the chashivas from Eretz Yisrael. What's important to realize is that what makes wine unique, other than the fact that it, of the alcohol contact, is that wine is similar to bread, and also you see olive oil also similar to bread, and that it's a partial human creation, meaning a grape, so to speak, was created by God, meaning God put the laws of nature into motion, and part of that involves the natural growing cycle of grapes, all right? But making wine is a human creation, meaning humans take the grape and then put it through some sort of processing to produce wine. So as a result, wine achieves a certain unique status, and there's a Rashi in Brachos that goes into more detail about this. But basically, wine has an elevated status as a result. Now, when it comes to shemen, when it comes to olive oil, v'al shemen betchilu mevarach bor pri'etz. Now, in olive oil, if you were going to drink olive oil, you make a ha'etz, but it's only one condition. B'medzvar memurim shayachoshish begrono v'shasa min hashemen imei hashlakas k'yotze behen treinene b'shishyasa. So you don't really benefit. You don't really benefit from drinking oil on its own. Oil has a certain benefit in drinking from it when it's mixed with, like, let's say, certain types of boiled beet juice and things like that, that you would do to soothe your sore throat. In that situation, now again, even though there's some medicinal usage, at the same time, there is a certain enjoyment the person gets out of drinking the mixture, so therefore, he would still make a ha'etz on that. Avalim shasa Hashem on levado, but let's say he drank the oil alone. O shelo haya choshesh begrono, v'varach lov shahakol. But oil, it's olive oil on its own, its natural bracha, so to speak, would be shahakol, shreilo nene betam ha-shemen. So a person never really enjoys olive oil alone, so therefore he make a shahakol if he drank it on its own. He only really gets hana from it when it is drunk with in this type of manner. Halacha gimel. Okay, this is also an important halacha, but I think we're all familiar with this. Peros ha-yirako shedarchan l'hachal chayim. Let's say there are fruits or vegetables that are normally eaten raw. In bishlon or shlokan mevarach alayim betchila shahakol vasof bar nefashos. Okay, if they're normally eaten raw, once you cook them or make a stew out of them, then you make a shahakol and a bor nefashos. Okay. However, the yirakos shedarchal nahachal shlukin. Okay, going kruva lefes. Okay, but let's say there are vegetables that are normally in cooked, like let's say cabbage. Okay, im achlan chayin. If you eat them raw, the varachleim etchilas shahakol v'so bor nefashos rabos. You make a shahakol and a bor nefashos if it's if you eat it raw. So again, however you eat the thing normally is the bracha you make on it. And we eat it in the abnormal way, that's where it reverts back to shahakol. Okay, so as you see, it's not a din in the substance, right? It's a din in the derech achila. That's what determines a bracha. Now, vim bishlan o shlakan mevarchalan bar pri adama luvasof bar nefashos rabos. And if you cook them, meaning that's how they were normally eaten that way, you make adama and bar nefashos. Now, dvarim shadarchal nahachal chayin umevushalin. Let's say they're eaten both raw and cooked, meaning there's no preference. They're eaten in both ways. Then you make whatever bracha is appropriate to make for this thing. Okay? So if it's a fruit, you make a bar per eight. If it's a vegetable, you make hadama on that. Okay. Halacha dal, let's do one more. Yirakos shedarchan lehishalek shlakan mevarach al me shelak shelahen bar per adama. Okay, so let's say you take vegetables, and you put a little water in the pot, and you boil them, you stew them for a long period of time, okay? And because what you're looking for is you're looking for all the extract that comes from the vegetables into this sort of mixture. You're making like a broth, for lack of a vegetable broth. You make a hadama on that. So that's not considered srita, that's considered more than that. That's considered like the next level up, which is where basically, you're taking, even though you're not actually eating the vegetables themselves at the end of the day, but the point is, since it was made as a stew, the halacha is you make hadam on that. V'hu sheshlakon lishtos mehen shememe hashlakos kishlakos b'makom shedarchal lishtosan. So it's only if your intention is to drink the water of this stew, meaning that's what you want to drink, and that's the way it's normally done. Dvash tamarim, so let's say you have date honey. Mivarchan alav tchila shahakol, okay? So you'd make a shahakol on date honey. Aval tamarim shema'achan biyad v'hotzi garinin shalahen v'asan kamo isa, but let's say you took dates, you pounded them, you grinded it up, you removed the seeds, and you made some sort of dough out of them. Mivarchan alav tchila bor pre'etz l'vasot brachachas v'in shalosh. So there it still retains its status as being date-like, and therefore, you would go ahead and make ayetz, and your bracha chorna will be the brachas you'd make on peres aretz.